Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I'm going to go to Romans chapter 4. We're talking about the gift of righteousness, and it's such a wonderful gift. I mean, really, the more you dig into your redemption in Christ, I mean, the more impressed you should be. In order to grow in anything, you need knowledge. Knowledge is a must. And if you're going to grow in your Christianity, you have to be a learner. I mean, it's just reality, all right? If you're going to grow, if you're going to develop like you should, you have to know more than you currently do. And then from what you learn that you didn't know, you have to do that word. The Bible says that those who do the word are blessed. Now, that's an interesting statement because the Bible also says you're blessed in Christ. So in all of Scripture, and this is something that we all need to realize, I think you probably do, but it's good to have a reminder. There are eternal or positional truths, and then there are temporal truths, all right? So all temporal truths proceed from eternal truths. So there are certain things that you are in the spirit that you may not be experiencing in the natural. So I will put it to you like this. There are things that you are created in Christ Jesus in the spirit. You were made, you were born again that way. But you won't experience it if you don't activate the temporal side of that truth. In other words, I'll put it this way. If you don't act on the reality of what is within you in Christ, you won't see it in the temporary. Okay, it's a simple word, one that our flesh doesn't like. It's called obey. Our flesh does not like that word. Our flesh says, I want to do what I want. And you have to treat your flesh like when your kids were little and unruly. You gotta discipline it and put it down for a nap or something. You know what I mean by that? In other words, you have to control your body, amen? Nobody else is responsible for your body. God gave it to you. You're responsible for your body, all right? And as Christians, we need to understand that. Well, a lot of times, especially in the Spirit-filled camp, a lot of times what we want is somebody else to be responsible for our body. You know, I'm all for the laying on of hands. How many have read in the Scriptures about the laying on of hands? Do you know there's actually, it's called a doctrine of the laying on of hands. So it's a part of our doctrine. I'm for that. And if I could lay hands on all of us, including myself, I'd get in the line myself to get prayed for, and impart maturity, spiritual maturity. I'd do it. And sometimes it's even offered in spirit-filled circles, you know, to come up here, you know, and we'll lay hands on you, and your life will totally change. Well, it'll change to the degree that you walk out what was given to you. I wish it was different sometimes, because I could solve a lot of problems in the church. Just go, mature in the name of Jesus. Mature in the name of Jesus. You know, get a husband and wife together. No more fighting in the name of Jesus, you know. Just lay hands on, bam, it's over, you know. You know, I'd be the richest preacher in the world if I could do that. We'd have people strung out all the way down the... My life, that guy laid hands on me, and all of a sudden I'm mature, you know. No, maturity's a choice. Now, the good thing about this is that all you have to do is make the choice and cooperate with the Lord. He'll be the power. So in any subject we teach on, we, all of us, have the, like I could study this and not do it. I mean, I've done it before. I've done that before, you know. The spirit of stupid takes over. You ever had that happen? Spirit of stupid take over? And you hear and you know what you're supposed to do, but you choose to do the other thing. How many love the harvest of that? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a bad thing. So we have to choose to. So any subject we hear, there is a work And I use this word advisedly, okay? There is a labor involved in developing in truth. The Bible talks about, and Paul told Timothy this, he said, you need to labor in word and doctrine. Do you know you're actually supposed to labor in prayer? Well, a lot of times in our camp, in our groups, and even when God will emphasize certain things, you know, concerning like grace, they think, oh no, I'm not going to work for anything. Well, you're saved by grace through faith, but you're saved unto work. All right, let's go there. I have you in Romans 4. Skip that. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to show you this. Just so you know, I'm not making it up. Ephesians chapter 2. Because we like the you're saved by grace through faith and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Okay, so your salvation is set because you have faith in Jesus, correct? You believe he's the Son of God. But if you and I want to see a manifestation of the reality of that salvation in the here and now, then there's some work we have to do. Now, we're not working for salvation. Listen to me. We're working from salvation. Okay? So you're not walking in love trying to earn God's love for you. You're walking in love because he's already given it to you. Amen. All right, that will significantly help your life. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, and then verse number 8. We'll start there. It says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that what? Not of yourselves, it is what? Oh, good, it's up there. It's the gift of God. Next verse. Not of, lest anyone should boast. Now, if we stop reading right here, you can say, I just preached false doctrine. You got me. How many think you got me? You don't got me. Next verse. For we are his, created in Christ Jesus for, That means that once I'm saved, and I got saved not through works, but by grace through faith, then what happened was, is there was a workmanship that took place in me. But it was his workmanship. Out of his workmanship, I walk in obedience in connected to that power, being connected to that power. I then work what was worked in me. Or I'll say it like this, I walk by faith, not by sight. So instead of responding to life out of what I feel and what I see, I respond to life out of who I am in Christ in the Spirit. Now, why do Christians struggle? Because their thinking's wrong and their body's out of control. How many think a holy life would be good? Now, people think this. They think, well, I'm under grace. I can do what I want. Why would you want to do that, being under grace? You remember what your life was like before when you did what you wanted? Remember the harvest you got. In other words, remember what your life was like before Christ when the temptation comes. You should go back to living the way you used to live. The reason why you received Christ, if you're like me, which most of you probably are, is because you were like, dear God, what's going on? I need to be saved or something. Get me free. Get me out of what I'm in. But it is the nature of the world, the nature of the unrenewed mind, and the nature of the flesh to get saved and then go, let's go back and live the way we did before. If you do, you are going to engage in intimacy with the darkness that you were born out of. Now, most of you are adults here, so I can say this. When a man and a woman come together and they're intimate, what do they produce? All things being equal. offspring, right? That is a spiritual principle first. The word adultery, if you look it up in the Old Testament, actually has to do with committing spiritual adultery before it does natural. In other words, if you engage in the darkness in intimacy, you'll have offspring. All right? The wages of sin is, read the book of James. If you go back and read the epistle of James, he'll talk about it. He'll talk about how sin is conceived, and then over time as it grows, it gives birth to death. So when it comes to righteousness and actions and things like that, when I'm engaging in a righteous act, what I'm doing is I'm saying I'm operating from the reality of what Christ has placed within me. And since I do that from that understanding and I walk in obedience to that word in this natural life, then I plant, it's almost like you plant a seed and harvest out of that righteousness in this life. So if you don't like the results you're getting, change the seed you're planting. You mean Christians can sin, Sean? According to the Bible, they actually can sin worse than unbelievers. Anybody think of a verse? I'm in the book of 1 Corinthians if you want to know where, in my head right now. Paul actually said there's reported that there's sin among you that isn't even reported among the heathen. Now let that roll around in your theological head for a while. How could that be? And Paul didn't say they weren't saved. Come on, Baptists. Let's go. Listen, I'm reading the same Bible. It messes with my head too. You understand what I... How is that? Well, your mind and your body not knowing or acting on this truth will come up with ideas that are totally opposite of the reality of Christ within you. One of the ways it was taught to me years ago was like this. Whatever you feed the most will be the loudest. So if you feed carnal thinking, you're going to think, oh, what's wrong with me? I must not be saved. No, God did his part. You've got to do yours. Amen. You've got to come into line with this word and begin to walk it out by faith. And when you do, you know, sometimes people are unexcited about that. They're just not excited. They're like, no, I don't want it. I just want it to go away. I'm going to help you with something. It won't. If you want a different harvest, you've got to plant a different seed. Amen? And as you do, your life will significantly change. You know the best thing that ever happened to me is I had to do the word to get free. Best thing. You know, when the Lord started this church, I thought, Lord, can't you just put me under another minister and I'll just take over after that? You know, I'd like to go in where it's already done. And the Lord says to me, he says, Sean, you're not built that way. I thought, what do you mean, Lord? You're built to just drive through everything, every obstacle, you know, break rocks apart, till the ground, dig it up, find the biggest boulder in the field, pull it out, and demolish the thing. I'm like, no, no, Lord. That's not my call. My call is to lay on the beach. My call is to take over something that's already ready to go, nice and neat and orderly. Don't have to grow it. Just come in and make it easy. And he's like, no, Sean, that's not your temperament. He said, I know the McFarland clan. I made you. I'm like, Lord. But the reality is to some degree, everybody is called to walk through tough things. And one of the toughest things you're going to face is you. That was good preaching. Right? One of the my biggest problem I stare at in the mirror every morning. It isn't the devil. I'm not saying he doesn't cause us problems. Dealing with me is the biggest issue. And a lot of times that has to do with how we think. Am I thinking, speaking, and living in line with what Jesus did in my heart? Here's another fun thing for you to think about and to look at. Sit down and have a heart-to-heart with the Holy Spirit about how you live your life. Well, I want different harvests. I know, that's what I'm talking about. The Lord will actually talk to you about things you don't want to talk about. How many have done this before? Lord, I got this problem. This thing's going on, and this isn't working, and that's not working. And then he goes, I know, it's because you disobeyed me. Now, this isn't always the case, but apparently I'm in the vein for this morning. This isn't always the case. Sometimes it's just the enemy attacking you. But there are also times where we create or allow the problem to grow and to develop and to operate. We actually fertilize and water the wrong seed. And most of the time, that is carnal things. And then the Lord will begin to talk to you about what you need to change. You know, I don't like being broke. Anybody like being broke? I don't know anybody that does. I mean, I guess there are some people that think it's a sign of spirituality, but there's no scripture for that. None. I'm not saying we should worship money, but there's no scripture that says if you're really spiritual, you should be flat broke. It doesn't exist. The thought is actually a religious thought. It's not right. It's a misinterpretation of some scriptures taken out of context. But you know, I've been broke and I've had money. And when I was broke, I was giving. But you know what I wasn't doing? I was not stewarding what I had. So do I need a financial miracle or do I need some discipline? Yep. You know what else I found out about the Lord? He's not Jehovah Lottery. Now, he'll bail you out if you need it. He's not Jehovah Lottery. Well, I gave like that preacher said one time. Nope, it's not how it works. There are practical steps that each of us take in line with spiritual obedience. And I'll say it this way. I actually prayed it during the offering. But I'll say it this way. The Lord will increase you as you mature spiritually. The more maturity you have with money, the more the Lord can go, here you go. And he'll open things up to you. And it's not winning the lottery, so stop playing. You're going to do what you want anyway. But I'm going to say it anyway. Stop playing. I do like what Dave Ramsey says on that. Playing the lottery is a tax on poor people. And poverty is a mindset. You can change the way you think about money. My mom used to say to me, Sean, you get a little money, it burns a hole in your pocket. How many ever heard that before? Was that just me? Burning a hole in your pocket. I got to go buy something. But over time and as the Lord has increased us and continued to increase us, I don't think that way. You can get to the point where you have enough money, you can almost do whatever you want. I'm not there yet. But when you are at that point, what you choose to do with the money reveals your heart. And I want my heart right to be right before God more than I want to have money. But what's the point that I'm getting at here? My thinking has to change, and I have to have discipline. You know, it's a good thing to save every time you get paid. Every time. Boom. Well, I can only save $2.50. Do that $2.50. Do that $2.50 for a solid year. And then look at your account at the end of the year. Every paycheck, you save that and then go, you say, why? But that won't do anything. No, yes, it will. You're missing it. It's building change here. And then when 100,000 drops in your lap, you don't go, woohoo! Free cars for everyone. You know? You'll think differently. You'll think righteously. You'll go, okay, what can I give first? Lord, what do you want me to give? I always give first. When I know money's coming in, I don't even think about what I'm going to do with the money first. I think about what am I giving first. That's literally how I think. And then from there, I move to, okay, Lord, where are we at? What do we need to do? What do we need to pay? What do we need to save? What do we need to give? What do we need to, do you see what I'm saying? What am I going to invest? I like investing. I do. I like investing. My wife's like, she's more, you know, Dave Ramsey talks about one's a nerd and one's a, what's the other one? One's like extravagant, like carefree, free spirit. Yeah, what's the first one though? It's not a nerd. It is? Yes, I'm the nerd. She's more the free spirit. So we balance each other out. Because I would be like, look, the kids are fine. They can sleep on the floor in a sleeping bag. This is how I am. I am. I'm very that way. I'm like, well, you know, we'll have vacations in heaven. It's a good thing those kids have her as a mom. I'm like, if we take that $1,000 and we put it into this thing where I'm earning this much interest, by the end of the year, I'll have this much money and I'll have done nothing other than put the money there. That is genius to me. You know what I mean? But where did that thinking come from? Over time, we did what? We changed the way we thought. Well, if I'm going to succeed as a believer in righteousness, I need to change the way I think. I need to think righteousness. When anything I'm facing, I need to think, well, I'm in covenant with God, so we're in a good place. Well, this feels terrible. I know, but I'm in covenant with God, so I'm in a good place. Romans chapter 4. So now go left in your Bible. You were in Ephesians. Romans chapter 4, verse number 25. So meditating on these scriptures. These are scriptures that you can jot down, that you can write down, and you'll be able to go back and read over them and meditate on them. Meditation has to do with memorization. It has to do with praying the scriptures. It has to do with thinking about, plotting, planning, all of that stuff concerning the Word of God. Now, we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, right? So what are the weapons? The weapons are the scriptures. The scripture is the sword of the Spirit. So Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says this, who, talking about Jesus, was delivered up for because of our what? Our offenses, and was raised because of our what? Justification. So Jesus was delivered for my sin, and he was raised so that I could be sinless. Amen. Do you see that? Now people will say, well, no, you're not sinless. Well, in the spirit, you are. Because if you're not, then you're not born again. You and I in Christ are righteous. And not just righteous in the sense of, you know, you're better than you were. You're made a new creation in Christ. So if you are right as rain with God, what prayer can you not get answered? What problem can you not have solved? What answer is being withheld from you if God is looking at you through the holiness of Jesus? Ooh, this will make a difference in your life. Your joy level will go up 5 notches. It'll just tick, 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 because you go, even in the midst of difficult situations, come on, you just need to go through sometimes and read Hebrews chapter 11 again and look at what they walked through and how they overcame. In other words, when we see ourselves the way Jesus made us, there's a righteous understanding that is within our minds that transformed thinking to where we're thinking righteously, and from there you will live holy. Now, what I mean by holy is not just, you know, I'm not going to smoke, cuss, or chew, or go with girls that do. I mean, I think you should live righteous in all those areas. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is living from holiness. Who is holy? You're living, when you say I'm living a holy lifestyle, you're saying I'm living a God lifestyle. I'm responding, reacting to the circumstances of life, to the relationships that I have in line with God, because this is how God would react, and I'm born of him, I'm his child, I'm going to react this way too. I'm in alignment with him, I have righteous thinking going on in my mind. All right, let's look at another one here, Romans chapter 8. I like what one commentary said. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 is where you can go. One commentary said this: all the promises center around the empty tomb. As Christ's resurrection was the proclamation of his acceptance as the payment or the propitiation, it is the demonstration of our acceptance in him. By him we are made righteous and acquitted of the law's claims. How many knew you were in sin before you got saved? You knew it. The law had a claim on you. Well, the claim's been released in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You've now been brought into peace with God through Jesus Christ. If I'm now at peace with God, what now changes in the rest of my life? So you are not without God. That means in your current circumstances and in your growth spiritually and the things that you're facing in your life, you are not without God. God is with you in everything. Now, if God is leading and driving the boat or driving the car, whatever you want to say, if he's leading, then we should be steering into escape from the enemy and into victories the whole way. Now, if you're not experiencing that, what do I need to do as an individual? I need to make adjustments, right? I need to make adjustments in my thinking, in my, if you have to, you need to fast and pray. Well, I just don't know what to do. And you've been saying that about that situation for 2 years. So you're telling me God's hiding the answer. Or maybe we haven't gotten in line with him yet. There's something that he needs to deal with us about, we need to be dealt with about, and we need to make an adjustment. It could be in our thinking, it could be in something that we're doing or saying. But that fellowship with the Lord, you know what fasting is, right? It means you get rid of everything that distracts you from God. It's not just not eating, donuts. I mean, that's not a bad idea, but you understand what I'm saying. It's not just that. You should, really what America needs to fast today more than anything? Social media. People say, well, people don't have the memory like they used to. I know, because they're watching 30-second clips. It's not because there's anything wrong with their brain. There's nothing wrong with your brain. You're training it to go bink, 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 whatever it is. I just can't sit down and focus on a book. Yes, you can. It's just not a reel. Remember that. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also what? Justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. The Amplified says it this way. He says he also justified, he acquitted, made righteous, putting them in right standing with himself. We were given righteousness. The Weymouth translation says it this way, and those whom he has called, he has also declared free from guilt. Jesus has made you free from guilt. Somebody say praise the Lord for that, huh? Amen. I am free from guilt. All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 32 through 34. It says this, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? So if God justifies you, who's going to condemn you? That's pretty good news. That means that God has set his justification upon you. So then who is going to condemn you? No one. God is really good at what he does. He doesn't make mistakes. He comes in and justifies you, makes you righteous. Now, if you reject his justification, that's a different story, but that's on you. But once you come into covenant with God, what God is saying is I've justified you and I'm not changing my mind. That's a good word. That's a really good word. He's saying, I've finished this thing. All right, verse 34, he says, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes what? Intercession for us. Not only has God justified you, but then Jesus is 24/7 interceding on your behalf. You're in a good position. I'm in a good position as a believer. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, Jesus is standing between me and the Father going, yes, they're good, they're righteous, they're just. They believe in me. My blood has worked. My body paid the price. Remember what I did. Jesus is forever a reminder of what God accomplished through him for the justification of humanity. Think about this. Jesus, when he appeared after his crucifixion, still had the holes in the hands and his feet. I guarantee you, he still got the scars. Why? They are marks of the covenant between you and God. In other words, and this is stated in the Old Testament, but in other words, it says this, that God actually marked in his own hands you and me. Jesus. God will not forget you. Will I forget him? Will I treat as common what Jesus did? Now, we got to watch this because this can happen every day. We can wake up and just go about our day. And it doesn't mean God's mad at us. That's not the issue. The issue is that we forfeit in the temporal what is constantly operating in the unseen. Come on, hear me now. We forfeit it because we're not walking in alignment and in obedience. We're not being a doer of the word. And so that's something that we have to have before us at all times, which is why you need a mind renewed to the Word of God. Amen? All right, let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you don't want to turn to these, you can mark them down and then look at them later. This is for your own study notes on righteousness. And you guys know that every message is available on YouTube. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth, this is verse 9, sorry, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10 now, for with the heart one believes unto what? Righteousness. What are you believing unto? Righteousness. If you believed in Jesus, what did you become? You became righteous. You became righteous. You stepped into peace with God. You stepped into a guiltless place with God through Christ. And then it goes on to say this, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me read this to you in the Amplified. It says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart a person believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ, and so is justified. You know the word righteous and justified are interchangeable in the scripture? They are. They mean the same thing. So they are what? They are justified. What does that mean? It means declared righteous, acceptable to God. You and I in Christ have been made acceptable to God. People say, well, I need to go to the priest and have the priest absolve me of sin. Listen, you went to the high priest, Jesus Christ, and he has absolved you from sin. You are cleansed by his blood. You don't need to go confess your sin to a priest. The Bible doesn't say go confess to a priest. The Bible says go confess to Jesus if you missed it. Amen. And in that, he has absolved you. Is there any scrubbing power stronger than the scrubbing power of the blood of Jesus? None. None. It is the ultimate. It can cleanse anything. Make it as white as snow. Amen? All right. Let's look at another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 30. I like this verse. This is one we quote a lot. But we like it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him, of who? Christ. You are in Christ Jesus. But of him, you are in who? Christ Jesus, who became for us, what did Christ Jesus become for us? He became for us wisdom from God and, oh, look at how good looking you are. I mean, you look good in the spirit. People say, well, I don't feel it. I know it's because your noodle needs help. You know, my grandpa used to say, use your head for something besides a hat rack. Smart thinking right there. Right? In other words, what? We in Christ are righteous, sanctified, and redeemed. You are righteous, sanctified, and redeemed. Wow. The amount of grace available in Christ Jesus. Pastor Joey, you can come. The amount of grace available. You should just go around the rest of the week saying, I'm righteous, sanctified, and redeemed. I'm righteous, sanctified, and redeemed. I'm righteous, sanctified, and redeemed. In Christ Jesus, I am righteous, sanctified, and redeemed. So how do I get the righteous sanctification and the redemption to manifest in the natural? I walk in obedience to the reality of what took place in the spirit. And I don't quit. I don't give up. I know we have got to learn this. We have got to learn this. I know many of you have, but many Christians struggle in this area. They give up after a short amount of time. They go along and they're like, yes, I'm going to serve the Lord. And for 2 months they do it. And then they give up. Don't quit. Listen, if you want to see significant change, I've been at this now for... Well, I gave my heart to the Lord when I was 19. And I'm just a hair over 19 today. I'll be in 2 years, it'll be 20 years. No, 30 years. There we go. See, I told you, a hair over. But with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. So what difference does it make, right? So I've been doing this for 30 years. I am so glad I didn't quit. I mean, I'm just now stepping into things. Let me give you some perspective on how God operates opposite of the world. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he made a statement. Now, I went to Rhema, Bible Training Center. Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Kenneth E. Hagin was the founder and head of that ministry. He's in heaven now. He went to heaven in 2003. His family, the generation after him, now runs that ministry. That ministry exponentially grew after he died. He wasn't even there anymore. And it is bigger today than it was when he was alive. It is bigger today than when he was alive. How is that possible? I was talking to Ian about this on the way home or on the way to church today. I said, think about this, son. This is how I teach my kid to think. Paul was writing letters to the Philippians, and you are getting revelation from it. He didn't know that Dallas was going to be in Billings, Montana on this day. He didn't know that. He's just writing out what God told him to. He didn't know it was going to be the canon of Scripture. He didn't know we'd have the Bible, but he was obeying God. And how is it affecting us 2,000 years later? I said, think about that, son, what we do. So with Kenneth Hagin, he didn't know that his ministry was going to grow after he went to heaven. He was just glad to be gone and out of the planet, knowing he did what he was supposed to do. But did you know this? His ministry took off when he turned 56. 56, Dan. Took off. Think about this. He started preaching when he was 18. I'm 47. Just wait till I hit 56. Come on, how old are you? You're not even near done. You've got time. That settled in good on somebody. If not just me. Don't get in a hurry with the Lord. Keep the disciplines of your faith. Keep going. Keep running. Keep obeying. Keep following the Lord. Keep thinking in righteousness and keep developing in your righteousness. By this time next year, you could be glowing in the dark. It ain't over. Somebody do this. Go, okay, you're breathing, so you got hope. Why quit? Why give up? And go back to what? No, thank you. I don't go back. One more story. One more faith story. Lester Summerall. Talk about a soldier in the faith. That guy, he was aggressive. He was being driven to a meeting one time. And he had a driver who was driving him. And he's being driven to this meeting, picked up, driven to the meeting. And the person that was going to drop him off accidentally went past the spot where he was supposed to drop him off. And he stopped and put it in reverse. And Lester from the back said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to back up so I can get into that spot. Nobody's coming. He could back up." Lester said, "No, drive around the block. I don't go back." Now, what is that? That's conviction. You have something, you have a conviction in you. Even if it's backing the car up, I don't go back. It's the men's meeting, burn the ships. I don't go back. I will never go back. Come on, say it with me. I don't go back. I go forward. Yeah, that's what righteous people do. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm moving forward. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I want to be so labeled by the world like Paul was. "You have lost your mind." Thank you. Thank you. Yes, and I've gained the mind of Christ. Amen. Boy, you feel that? It's just the Lord. That's just the Holy Spirit. He's going, "This is where I'm at right here. Everything's coming to pass." And how many have watched some of the Olympics? the relay, they did some relays. I'm just going to do this when I'm done. Boom. And I'm going to, I'm out of here. I'll throw the tent off and get gone. Don't sweat it, though. We'll all be together in the end. You say, what are you going to do in eternity? Work for God. I don't want to do anything else. You know, I'm okay with, like, you know, having a little vacation here or there or whatever. But I don't know all the details of heaven. I've heard stories. But I'm not going to go up there and just be a fat little baby in a diaper playing a harp. Stop picturing that in your mind. Precious moments does not define my destiny. I'm going to run with the lion of the tribe of Judah. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run with him. Forever. You know, preacher, you act like you believe that. I'd stake my life on it. This is the shortest thing I'm ever doing. Right here.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.